Hi guys, my name is Maddie Barzi, and I am almost a high school graduate who is preparing to go to college across the country in just a few short months. I will be sharing a short story I wrote for College Composition 2 called A Wild Ride. I'm choosing to share this piece so that in the following years I can look back and listen to it and remember the amazing friends and experiences that I had while in high school. So here goes. On the day of my 18th birthday, I expected to have a fun-filled day with friends, but never thought it would be a day where my reputation as a quality driver was on the line. I arose that morning to the familiar scent of my mom making homemade cinnamon rolls, the smell wafting up to my room and filling it with the scent of cinnamon and brown sugar. I groggily stumbled down my stairs and into the kitchen and was greeted with a loud, "Happy birthday!" from my entire family. We ate together, and then I rushed back up to my room to begin getting ready for my day with friends. As I got ready, I ran through the day's schedule. First, my friends, Addison Martino, Annabelle Ramirez, Mary Bruce, Raina Cochran, and Taylor Clayton would come meet me at my house. Then we would all hop in my mom's minivan, aka the party van, and I would take us to Springfield where we would have brunch at the Aviary Cafe. I was somewhat apprehensive about driving in an unfamiliar car to a place I had never been to, even though I had 2 years of driving experience under my belt. But I was more excited than nervous. I continued to put on my makeup, curl my hair, and obviously pick out a cute outfit. Just as I finished, I heard the doorbell ring. I rushed down the stairs and greeted my friends with open arms. We all hopped in the car, except for Annabelle and Raina, who were haggling over who would be my navigator, ride shotgun, and get the obviously highly sought-after spot next to me. Raina ended up winning, to my surprise, but I had no idea she would literally be the worst navigator I would ever have. We pulled out of my driveway and handed Addison the aux so she could play us some tunes. We all screamed song lyrics at the top of our lungs in between talking about stupid things, of course, just like high school girls do. The drive was going smoothly as we got onto Highway 13. Little did we know it was all about to go downhill. Now, before I start, I would like to preface with this. Normally, I'm fine driving on Highway 13, but the excitement of my birthday, the unfamiliar car, and a larger group of people, half of which I'd actually never driven with, ended up being an almost deadly combination. While on the highway, somehow, I forgot to pay attention to what speed I was going. I guess I was just too invested in the conversation or something, until I heard Addison say from the back seat, "It feels like we're going really fast, Maddie. How fast are you going?" Raina leaned over from her precious spot in the passenger seat and loudly proclaimed, "Oh my gosh, Maddie, you're going almost 90. For a reference point, I'm pretty sure the speed limit on 13 is 65. At this point, I was flustered and determined to prove myself as a worthy chauffeur. However, this determination, combined with an awful navigator, ended up making me a way worse driver. As we approached the city limits of Springfield, I turned to Raina and told her to get her directions ready. She gave me extremely vague instructions to turn west on a street in 6 miles. I said, with a twinge of annoyance in my voice, "Raina, I literally have no idea where west is. You have to be more specific than that." She continued to give me directions using actual directional terms, even though I do not understand those at all. Then she kept telling me that the street was by some Chinese restaurant. Of course, she uses unfamiliar Asian restaurants as landmarks. And this is where I started to get really frustrated. Luckily, Annabelle had my best interest at heart and started going off on Raina. She was yelling at her about how stupid and confusing her directions were and how we were going to get lost. Well, little did we know, Annabelle was actually right about that. After lots of bickering back and forth between Annabelle and Raina, we finally made it to another highway. At this point, everyone was making fun of my driving, and I was trying to laugh it off. Raina told me to take the next exit ramp, which was the smoothest exit I had done so far. Then, she told me to take the next left. Well, the literal next left put us on a roundabout turn that led right back to the highway we had just come from. Not knowing any better, I took that turn and we ended up right back where we had just been 5 minutes ago. So, now, not only had we been in the car for almost an hour, but we were completely lost because this time I missed the actual turn I was supposed to take. Everyone was yelling at me and I was screaming as well. There were semis zooming past us as I frantically tried to switch lanes, and I'm 100% sure I got flipped off, probably more than once. Raina was desperately trying to get her phone GPS to readjust so we could figure out where the heck we were going. At that point, we were barreling down a highway with no sense of direction. The GPS coordinates finally connected, and Raina successfully guided me further down the highway to make another turn that would get us back on track. After an extra 45 minutes in the car, I finally made the correct exit, and the restaurant was in sight. Now all I had to do was turn at a stoplight and onto a road that was divided by a median. That should have been easy, right? However, after all the stress I had just been through, I was extremely nervous and somehow forgot basic driving rules. As I made the left turn, I started going on the road that was on the left side of the median, which, if you can't visualize, it meant I was driving into oncoming traffic. I screamed and somehow successfully swerved at the last second. I then shakily maneuvered myself into the parking lot. My friends were both laughing and screaming about how I was never allowed to drive again, and someone else should probably drive us home. Well, the drive back was a lot smoother, and we all just laughed and talked the entire way back. This may have been because my driving skills just magically got better. Or maybe it was because we changed navigators and Raina got demoted to the back seat. Either way, to this day, the six of us still make jokes about what an atrocious driver I was that day, and use that as a reason why I am never allowed to drive anyone ever again. This experience is both a fond and frightening memory to look back on, but one I will never forget. It strengthened our friendship, and I'd like to think that it made my driving skills better, but really there's no way they could have possibly gotten worse after that ride. This made me realize that it's the little memories that I hold near and dear to my heart, not necessarily big things we all did together. In fact, I think the drive there was more fun than the actual brunch, and I certainly remember it more vividly than the cafe where we dined, or what I ordered. It helped me put experience to the saying, "It's not about the destination, it's about the journey." This taught me to live more in the moment and remember that in the end, it's the little things that matter most. Oh, and it taught me that you can't drive on the left side of the road. Thank you for listening.
Good evening. I'm Seth Batten, and I identify myself through my relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight, I will be sharing my short story, The Ending I Didn't Know I Needed. I thought I would share this with you guys because I have been motivated to better myself throughout this quarantine, and by sharing this, maybe I would inspire someone else to do the same. High school. The best and worst time of my life. It has been a very unconventional time, but I wouldn't want it any other way. One of the things that everyone remembers from high school is the relationships and how they affected you. Whenever this word came to my mind a couple months ago, this word meant someone you have more than just a friendship with, but I can say without a shadow of a doubt, that word means so much more. During hard times like this, people tend to learn more about themselves or about the people they are trapped with, and I can say I've done that. I haven't realized some moral problem that I need to fix or anything like that. I have learned some new things that make me who I am that I didn't know were relevant. I have always been a social person. Most of the time, I'm surrounded by my closest friends. I have known about that passion for people for a while, but I never knew how much the people I'm around make me who I am. I have noticed a drastic change in who I am just since we've been in this quarantine. Not being around people has changed me, and not all for the better. I've been around my family, but that is it. And to be honest, they have driven me crazy. But on the other hand, they have had an influence in my change, which has been good. They have forced me to learn how not to become easily annoyed or frustrated with how they are acting or how they treat me. I think what makes me such a social person is my love for pouring into others. I'm very passionate about meeting new people and making new friends. Sometimes that can come back to bite me because people don't want to be in that kind of friendship, but 95% of the time I can say that it has had a positive repercussion. And I think I'm that way because of the people that I've come in contact with throughout my life. 5 years ago, I was the quiet kid who never talked, and now I'm the polar opposite. A few people come to my mind when I think of influential people in my life. Coach Hoig and Coach Brian are at the top of my list. They have been some of the most influential people in my life. Not only have they inspired me to become better at basketball, they have motivated me to be a better person through my relationship in Christ. Another couple of people, I can think of are Mike Blaine and Randy Coy. They have been my youth pastors throughout my time in youth, and they have pushed me to want to be a better person and further my gifts for Christ. And without these people in my life, I would most likely still be the quiet kid and wouldn't be writing this essay. A few weeks ago, on Sunday, April 19th, we had an outdoor drive-in church service. The week before, I had circled it on my calendar, but not for the right reasons. There was rain in the forecast. Don't get me wrong, I wanted to see everyone, but was it really worth it to get all of our instruments and equipment wet to possibly be ruined? I showed up Sunday morning open-minded to set up, and it was a clear, beautiful day. By the time church was about to start, we had over 70 cars with over 200 people in our parking lot, and going through the lines of cars at a safe distance, of course, saying hi to all of my friends I hadn't seen was very refreshing. I was grinning ear to ear while rushing around to get to everyone. The one disappointment I had was that I didn't get to see everyone that was there. After that Sunday, I was reminded of how the people at my church are some of the most uplifting people I've ever met, and I couldn't be more thankful for them. Overall, this quarantine has had its ups and downs, from everything getting canceled, to selling random stuff on eBay to make money, to staying up all night playing video games. I've learned a lot about myself. Looking back on this quarantine later in life, I won't be able to think of any negative thing that has changed within me, but I will see all of the improvements I've made and will have nothing to be ashamed of. Now, it is most definitely not the way I would have anticipated the end of high school to go, but I found that it has been vital to my growth as a person, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Hi, my name is Amber DeLugosh, and I teach dual credit composition at Bolivar High School. This year took a turn that we could not have anticipated. I would have never guessed that I'd be finishing the school year out teaching at home with my dog Dottie, who you can hear walking across the floor right now. Though their senior year took a harsh turn, and many are now facing tough realities, my students have continued to exude exemplary character. The stories and insights they've shared have challenged me to keep going and to see different perspectives. So I've asked them if they would share with you by reading a piece of their own choosing. In each episode, you'll hear from five members of the graduating class of 2020. I call this group of students the good guys, and I think you'll see why. I hope you enjoy another episode of Powerful Perspectives.
Hi, my name is Houston Black. In my story, I'm going to identify myself as I. I will be reading the story about the last game of our soccer season, and I chose this piece because it was a very important game to me, and it meant a lot, so I hope you enjoy it. My heart pounded, my throat felt dry, and my hands began to sweat as I stepped off the bus. I hadn't come off the bus nervous like this in a long time. As the team walked into the stadium and sat on the cold, hard bleachers, I took some deep breaths to calm myself and to slow my racing heartbeat. It was dark, windy, and cold that night, and it wasn't the type of weather you wanted to be wearing shorts and a jersey in. It was the first district game, and for the seniors, it meant that if we didn't perform well, it could be the last game we would ever play with each other. I kept thinking about how it could all be over in a few hours, and it made me jittery. We got there way earlier than usual, and there was a whole game left before we played, so we had about an hour to sit there and watch before we warmed up. As we sat there, fellow players talked about game strategy and which players to watch out for on the other team. I listened and contributed for a while, but I began to think of bigger things. I thought about how this could be the last night I would play a competitive sport. I thought of how long I had played with some of these guys, and I thought of how many years and how many hours I had spent playing this sport and how it could all be over in this one night. I listened to the familiar songs I always listened to before games, the same three or four songs by Travis Scott and Trippie Redd. It was time to go into the bathroom and change. I slid my shin guards into my socks and laced up my cleats for the last time. I was the team captain, and the team captains always wear a captain's band. I hardly ever wore mine because it was too small and always came undone and just wasn't kind of comfortable to wear. But this game, I was proud to put it on and show that I was the leader of the team. I stood close to the hand dryer and soaked up the warm air while I could. It was the second week of November, and so the temperature probably wasn't much more over freezing. I had sleeves on my legs and a short sleeve shirt on top, so it was pretty cold. We jogged to the side and began partner passing before the game. Then we did the familiar stretches that we had done all of high school, and as the game came to finish, the losers came off with their heads hung in a look of disappointment. I felt bad for them because I knew that we were facing a tough team, and in another 2 hours, we could be walking off the field with the same expressions. We threw our bags behind the bench and jogged out onto the field. After about 15 minutes of shooting and passing drills, we ran to the bench. I can't say I remember what the coach said before we took the field. I just remember what I was thinking about. I told myself to play my hardest and to enjoy the game that I wouldn't get to play much longer. The whistle blew, and after a quick drink, we took the field. We lined up, and the national anthem began to play. Like every game during the national anthem, I looked up in the stands to find my parents. With a fairly decent crowd, it took a little longer than usual for me to spot them. My girlfriend and her mom had also come, so I definitely wanted to do good now. The anthem ended, and we smacked hands with the opposing teams. We lined out in the formation that worked best for us, a diamond-style defense, and the starting whistle blew. It always took me a few minutes and touches to settle into the game and get comfortable, but tonight it didn't. I felt right on from the start and had a good feeling about the night. I had heard people talk about a kid on the opposing team that was really mouthy and liked to cause trouble. It didn't take long to figure out which one he was. The first few minutes weren't bad. We played them hard, and we could tell that they were the better team. I stopped their forward several times, but all I could do was kick it out because he was all over me. The midfields and the forwards began to pick up some rhythm and get shots on goal, and kept on the offensive half for a while, which was nice. The only bad thing about that was the mouthy kid on the other team was running his mouth whenever he wasn't running with the ball. We were all getting tired of hearing him, and it was clear to see that he was getting on all of the nerves. My frustration drove me to run him down faster, and the next time he got the ball and sprinted to our goal, I caught him quicker than the time before and took the ball. I was a stride ahead of him with the ball and was about to turn when he stepped on the heel of my right cleat. My foot popped out, and I had to kick the ball out. He mouthed something off right as the whistle blew to signal that the first half was over. We jogged off the field, sweaty and tired, with one half under our belts and a 0-0 scoreboard. I don't remember much from halftime, but I do remember that I went by quickly. Before we knew it, we were back on the field on the opposite side before. The whistle blew and the half was underway. The opposing team came out with lots of fire and was really playing us hard. We struggled to maintain possession, and they took control of the ball. They got more shots and chances at goal than they should have, but we had a really good goalie, and he was able to stop everything that came to him. We gained possession on their half for a bit, but overall, we struggled to keep possession. Once again, they paraded down the field with the ball and made it into our goalie box. In a struggle to get the ball out, everyone was getting pushy. The mouthy kid dove on the ground and faked a foul. The foul was called and a penalty shot on goal was given, and the crowd began to yell. The parents and coaches began to scream at the referee, and nobody but the other team was happy about the call. Penalty shots were nearly impossible to block for a goalie, and this one was no exception. A swift kick and the ball whizzed by our keeper. Frustrated by the call and the goal, everyone began to play as hard as they could. We had about 15 minutes to get the goal to give us a chance of overtime, and the goal really amped up the other team and fueled the annoying kid to talk more. We tried and tried, but got very few shots on goal and nothing was working. We were down a point and there wasn't much time left, and coach always had the defense push up and leave our half of the field. You are more likely to get a goal, but there's also a chance that a goal could be scored on you. But a loss is a loss, and we were down by 1 point, so we needed to risk it. With only a minute left or so, the other team got a breakaway, and it was a race to our goal, and unfortunately the race was lost. They got another goal with only seconds left, and obviously the game was lost and our season was over. Final whistle blew, and just like that, it was over. I didn't think I would cry or really be that emotional, but I was wrong. The coaches I had known for a long time began to talk, and several of us began to tear up. After many pictures and hugs, it was time to leave. I kneeled down and unlaced my cleats one last time and looked out over the field. I'd learned a lot about myself playing soccer, and I'd learned that a right mindset had a lot to do with what you can accomplish. I learned that things are what you make of them, and I learned to push myself physically. The biggest thing I came out of the season was that at the end of the day, trash talking doesn't help you in the long run. Sometimes in life, I put someone down in my head so much that I lose focus on what really matters, and that is to better yourself. I was sad my sports career was over, but I was thankful for all the memories I had with all these great people.
Hello, and thank you very much for listening. My name is Jackson Bose. I'm now nearly a former student at Belver High School. Today I'll be reading to you my list assignment. I'll be reading this because out of everything I've written in the past few months, I like it the most. To me, it is almost a window into how I feel about the current world situation, and it's my favorite thing to write this semester. I'm in my room. It's nearly 2 hours past noon, and since waking up at 10, I've done little in the way of productivity. Oddly enough, this has been the norm for the past few weeks, ever since the quarantine started. This spike in laziness has opened the door for my mind to wander. It tends to wander off, and in much of the time, I have no guess as to what I'll end up thinking about. However, there is one reoccurring theme, and that's the future. Why this topic has been trapped rattling in my skull this entire break isn't exactly a mystery to me. When in hard times, a person will either subconsciously think of better times or purposefully do it. I myself am guilty of both, and in constantly thinking of the future, I've begun to look forward to things. I look forward to the day that I am able to visit others. I look forward to meeting new people, something that usually makes me anxious, but now seems like a fun endeavor. I look forward to eating the overpriced, grease-dripping food at Arby's. I look forward to graduation, in whatever form we are able to have it. I look forward to even seeing the people I don't enjoy. Their conflict with my day is certainly more entertaining than even the most adventurous days at home. I look forward to sports and the seasons that were cut off too soon. I look forward to stress, anger, and confusion that driving in heavy traffic causes. I look forward to seeing someone cough and not fearing for both their own life and my own. I look forward in time and see the possibility of my happiness in a small town, yet alongside it, I also see the possibility of my fulfillment lying in a crammed and charming city. I look forward to hearing people's voices through the air rather than the speakers of my computer. I look forward to college, where I hope to find a foothold in the slick, seamless wall that is life. I look forward to being judged for my mistakes, because although I may be my largest critic, I certainly don't think I'm my best. I look forward to not having so much time to look forward, to not having the time to wake up at noon, to go to bed past midnight, to do all of my homework in one day. I look forward to order and the constraints on my schedule, to not having a schedule as empty as my stomach is right now. I look forward to having excuses to not give someone my attention. I look forward to having a job, to not just having a job, but a duty, a task to be completed. I look forward to graduating college and being thrust in the safety harness that being a student is. I look forward to things because it distracts me. It entertains me. It inspires me. It creates my goals and my fears, my hopes and my dreams. To live only in the present is like to draw only in one dimension, to read only one side of a page, to sing half a song. I look forward to life, for the promise of change and new things. It's as close to the future of life as anything I can think of.
Hi guys, my name is Mary Bruce. I am going to be reading a list writing for composition, and it is called I Miss. I chose this piece because I felt as if it addresses everything that's going on right now, and it just really, like, it points everything out. Yeah, it's okay because it sucks and this stinks and it's not a perfect time and it's not a wonderful time and it's not everything that I thought the end of my high school year would be, but it does come to a good ending and it talks about our future and what's to come. I mean, we're gonna be college students. Like, I can't believe that. So just the end of it is focusing on our future. And I think that's really important too. It's important to, you know, understand your feelings and be sad. It's okay to be sad, but it's also important to look at the glass half full, to be excited for what comes next. So I am an almost college student. That sounds so crazy to me. I am almost not a high school student. Like, I don't know, something about that, it sounds so weird, so strange to me, but I don't know. But okay, here we go. I am sitting outside in what feels like a summer night. Watching the sun go down is strange. This is all wrong. This is not summer. It is April 7th. I'm supposed to be finishing up assignments I got from school. I'm supposed to be reliving memories from my senior trip. I was supposed to, but I am not. And instead, I miss. I miss so many things about school. I miss the people. I miss the teachers in the hallways. I miss all the opportunities that we never got to take. I miss being busy and being with friends every day. I miss wishing for the weekend so I could have a break from school. I miss wondering what we could do later in class that day. I miss the connection with people. I miss the laughter and the joy. I miss everyone's groans about an assignment and that very assignment that made us groan. I miss making memories with my friends. I miss the routine of it all. I miss waking up and rushing out the door. I miss taking random McKinley to school. I miss our morning conversations. I miss the morning radio. I miss normal conversation and just how boring it might have been. I miss the lectures and the insightful questions. I miss normality of a school day. I miss every single teacher. I miss rushing around in the morning just so I could go get coffee from Creator Delights. I miss seeing everyone. I miss seeing the crowded hallways and the movement and the talking within them. I miss simply being able to wave at someone. I miss the normal. I miss the anticipation of our prom and senior trip and even graduation. I miss being able to see so many faces throughout the day. I miss getting ready the night before school when I would set out all of my clothes and prepare for the next day. I miss planning a cute outfit. I miss the connection with every single human. I miss the opportunity to talk to new people face to face. I miss the chances that I never got to take. Does it even make sense? I miss just being able to sit at that desk and worry about what I might do after I get off work that night. I miss the games, the fun, laughter, the faces, the moods, the connection. Connection. I miss the connection. We can all have connections through our devices online, but it's just not the same. I miss every single thing. I can't go back and I can't change it. I can't go back in time and set things to normal. I can't make things better. I can't speed up time either. I can't go back to that last day before spring break and tell everyone goodbye. I can't go back and tell Mary not to take things for granted. I miss the dumb things, fun things, silly things, boring things, routine things. I miss everyone and everything. But as I wrap up this paper, thinking about how much I miss, it's hard to move on from these things, yeah. But this time has also made me appreciate so many more things. It has made me grow and understand things better than I did before. This is a hard time and we miss so many things, but it is also important to see the things you miss and understand them. You must also know that there are new things to come, new things to learn, new things to experience. So, yeah, we miss things in the past, but we also need to be ready to look to the future. Looking to our future is our next thing. So instead of missing the past, let's look at first the fun and exciting things that lie ahead so we don't miss the next time.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know that these five seniors really appreciate your time and your ears. They have boldly shared their own stories and perspectives, and I celebrate that in them. It's very brave and courageous of them to do. In our class, we center all that we do around one common saying: stories create connection, and connection creates understanding. And it's my hope that's what's happened here today. Thank you again.